them come. This is their fate.
All right. Welcome back to the House of Wolves podcast. I am your host, Deontay. Here are my near and dear friends, Jalen and Josh. And today is all about them sweet, sweet Nintendo. Nintendo has been running rampant on our favorite medium. And we got a lot to say. Got a lot to talk about. A lot to discuss. If you've been following me, you probably know about all my TikToks and how I really feel. But I'm going to try to bring it to a more calm and cool and collected approach here on the pod as I talk to my brethren in regards to Nintendo and what they've been doing. So before we get started, per usual, I know it's been a minute. So Jalen, Josh, tell the people how you been, what you've been up to, how's life going, what you've been playing, what you've been doing, and how you've been feeling. Talk to the people.
Yeah, it's been a minute for us, but I guess we've been trying to keep up with all the Nintendo news. For me, though, mostly been working a lot and on my off days trying to spend more time with the family. Just because we got, well, for my job, we got like a big event coming up. So as we ramp up to that event, they got me doing a little bit of overtime. That should be done hopefully soon, and I'll be able to get back to playing some games. Otherwise, yeah, everybody's doing good. Season is changing. And in Japan, there's a lot of pollen or just stuff like everywhere. So a lot of people who don't normally have allergies like me just end up getting like really congested in like the spring season, just because like the cherry blossoms and the flowers and stuff like that. Weather is feeling good, but like, you know, you're all congested, which sucks. Other than that, been watching Daredevil whenever we can. I'm all caught up on that. Well, I think actually there might be one that just dropped like recently, like episode 8. I haven't seen, but otherwise we've been watching that faithfully.
Yeah.
And just as far as video games, when I can, I hop on Marvel Rivals because the season is ending in like 2 days. And so I'm going to try to finish that up for the new season. But yeah, other than that, tell me about y'all weeks, what y'all been up to.
Don't they battle passes stick around or no?
It does. Well, for me, I was close to finishing it. So I want to finish it. That way, when the new season start, I could just jump over to the new one.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because how it works is you could still play the old one, but it's not going to progress the new one. So you'll be playing the old battle pass, which doesn't really matter, but I just want to finish it off.
Gotcha. I wonder if they do like any acceleration or whatever for that, but it doesn't matter right now. Anything else you wanted to add? I know you were finna say something and I cut you off.
Oh, no, that was all. Tell me about y'all weeks.
Oh, okay. What about you, Jalen? What you been up to, man? What you been doing?
Shoot. So, main thing was, I mean, I guess I've been working already. So, mainly doing that. Supposed to hit day 50. Nice. Got backed up a little bit. I had just came back from Dreamville. That was a real good experience.
That's the last one, right?
Yeah. Supposedly, I mean, it's the last one. That's probably gonna be called Dreamville, but Rally, whatever you wanna call it, they get a lot of people. I think that's probably like their biggest event. So I was on Uber talking to this lady about it, and she was like, "They trying to keep something like that going because it's real good for the city." So I don't know what they gonna do, what type of music festival, if there's be rappers or, you know what I'm saying, but I don't think J. Cole really affiliated with it anymore. I think it's just a lot to do. So that's gotcha. The last official Dreamville one. So I definitely got to check that out. That was smooth. I know people be mad at J. Cole and stuff. He ain't even say nothing about the beef or nothing like that. He's just like, I'm out of here, bro.
So I would not think he would want to at all.
So. Yeah. I mean, he said something last year, so one of my friends. We thought he was going to say something about it because it sounded like he wanted to address something, but that ain't what he talked about. So, nah, he said, even said something about guys going to play one song or something, but you know, they're a little controversial right now, so I'm gonna just leave it out. Like, you know, he's just saying stuff like that. So, so that's why I was thinking he might have said something about it because he seemed like he's, you know, kind of not trying to be as professional, but just trying to, you know. So like I said, that was smooth. I had got back yesterday.
And so he can't play, January 28th?
Shoot, I don't know what it is. I don't know what song he's talking about. I don't know if it's a song that has something to do with Trey Songz or if it has something to do with Diddy or I don't know, you know. I don't know. A couple of people that just, you know.
Could have been first person shooter. Could have been whatever, really.
I mean, yeah. I was about to say it's a couple people that's controversial, really. Some more than others. So, but now I think that's really about it as far as what I've been doing. I don't think I had anything else. I mean, I'm supposed to be going to Japan this week. So I got to try to get situated for that. And I think that's really about it. I got to sign up for a couple things. I'm supposed to do like this Tough Mudder thingy and I got to sign up for this half marathon in Colorado. And yeah, so I kind of been like doing a lot of running kind of, I feel like at least. So, playing game wise, I mean, I ain't really been playing nothing but Dookie Burst. Well, multiverses. that's really about it, man. I said I was gonna hop back in Final Fantasy, so that's pretty much it, though. So,
yeah, okay. Well, the multiverses is gonna mainstay now at this point. As well, multiverse, man. I don't even know when them servers drop. I don't even know no more. I forgot. I think it's like
the end of May.
Yeah.
Something like that. Beginning or middle of that, man. Or beginning, something like that.
Yeah. Hopefully they decide that it's worth sticking around, but we'll see. Okay. Well, for me, I mean, I've just been chilling. I've been doing a lot of gaming, a lot of watching TV. I finished up The Devil May Cry. Post some videos about that. That was very, I got a lot of people in the comment section telling me what I should like and should not like. And then there was the Solo Leveling. I started to watch Freyan. I think it's a Journey's End, but that was what made me cry. So I stopped that. It was like 3 episodes in. I might finish it, but I was like, I don't know about that one. I started to play South of Midnight, beat one of the first bosses, Tutotom, which is, it's really fun. I also been playing a lot of different games. So I was playing recently, First Berserker. I was playing, South of Midnight, and then there was this third game. Oh, I'm still playing Assassin's Creed. That's heavy in rotation. I don't think we talked since I played Shadows. But that's still in heavy rotation. Really great game to me. Which sounds crazy saying it, but it is a good game. And that's pretty much what I've been doing. I've been playing a lot of games, man. Kids are, I think the last time we spoke, they was in the potty training phase. Aiden and Amir are now, well, Aiden is actually, going to the potty by himself, pulling his pants down, pulling the pants up, doing all the motions, washing his hands. And he's wearing regular underwear now. So he's there. Amir is not at all. So we don't want to compare him, but it's for sure one of those things where we're just trying to encourage him to do it too. So that's the family front. We are really excited about that, happy about that. Because they are now at the, I can stop buying diapers at least a lot more than I used to. So we happy about that. But yeah, man, just been working, playing games, and talking about Nintendo. That's been occupying a lot of my time, to be honest. Talking about Nintendo and their craziness. They still got more stuff craziness that I ain't even covered on any of my channels, but it's a lot of stuff that's just happening that's very strange that we're gonna get into soon. But I already got all my stuff ready for DreamCon. I'm good on that. Looking forward to it. Gonna have a good old blast over there. First time going to it, so I'm hoping to you know, enjoy myself. I got a couple different cosplay outfits. I don't even know if I'm gonna do one. I gotta wait and see. I was gonna do two, but I might just do one, and just kind of go from there. It's not a super expensive one, so it's you'll see it when I post it. But outside of that, I've been chilling, man. Been feeling good. Been working out. I forgot about that. I don't forget about that. I do it every day now. Not on weekends. Monday through Friday, wake up in the morning, work out. And I just started this week of, and I don't know if it's healthy or not, but whatever. I supplement out a meal for a protein, basically based dish meal or not. Like basically it's protein shake mixed with some yogurt, mixed with some protein powder, mixed with like some fruits on the side, but it's not like a full meal. But I'm going to supplement out one of those because I've been gaining muscle, but I haven't been losing weight. And I think to kind of do both things that I want to do at the same time, which is gain muscle and lose weight, I'm going to have to either remove a few more calories out of my diet and put more protein in it. So that's my plan for the next week, is to supplement one of my meals out for a protein meal. Base meal, like a lot more protein, and just continue my work effort and working out. So I'm hoping that kind of solves the and kind of gets me to the next level of my fitness journey as of now. So we'll see. But yeah, man, I've been super, super focused. I'm not lying. It's like a very focused, different type of Deontay at this point in time, where I'm just doing stuff very diligently and I'm not really giving myself any grace to not do it. But it's like, it's helping me stay focused on everything else in my life too. So it's good. It's good. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. Let's talk about Nintendo though. Let's talk about some of the, craziness that is coming out of the Nintendo. I mean, let's start with, did anybody watch the direct? Did anybody actually have a chance to view the direct before we get into everything else? Who watched it?
Yeah, I watched it live.
You watched it live. Okay. Cool. What did you think of the direct when you first watched it?
I would say I think overall the direct was pretty okay. There were some games that were cool. There's some games that was like, it's not necessarily need to be shown or want to see more of different things. But overall, I thought the announcement was solid. Like I understood what was coming out on launch day. And I figured, yeah, it's not bad. I can buy it. I'm just waiting for the price confirmation pretty much.
Yeah. And from my perspective, that's exactly where I sat. I sat in a, it's not exactly because I did give them more, like, I felt like they did their thing when they showcased third party support, which, I mean, I never buy anything third party on their consoles, but they showcased third party support, which is strong for the general population that wants to buy this thing as their main console. They showcased the fidelity differences between different Switch 1 version and Switch 2 version, and they show new games. I really wanted to see new games. And honestly, for me, Donkey Kong and Mario Kart World is enough. I don't really care for Mario Kart, but if I'm going to buy one, it's going to be the bundle, because why not? It just seems like it's the best deal at this point to buy that version where you come bundled with Mario World. Kart World versus not. So when I was watching it, by the end of it, I was like, okay, they actually did their big one. I felt like I actually saw Nintendo putting their best foot forward when it comes to presentation and presenting a new console, because I didn't think I was going to get anything in regards to the differences between the Switch 1 and Switch 2. I thought I was going to just see a new games. I thought I was going to see potentially a little overview of the console itself, maybe the new gimmick, and that was it. So the 50 minutes, the hour showcase provided me a lot more information than I truly expected from them. And I thought that was really dope because I didn't think that they were going to give me much. I guess when it came to after that, when we started to kind of get more information, is where it started to fall apart for me. And that's kind of where I want to go to next. But grading it overall, when I first watched it, by the end of it, I was ready to pre-order. I was like, hey, man, this thing seems like it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be an upgrade. It's going to provide some value. Obviously, we still didn't know if it was going to be like providing better frame rates and performance compared to, you know, the Switch, as in regards to like backwards compatible games that maybe unlocks better performance, or it's going to just be emulating it. So that's what I wanted to see, and I wanted to get more confirmation around that. And that's where, you know, as we got more details, it started to get a little uglier. I'm not saying that it's a bad console per se, but it did get a little uglier as details went on. Starting off with the price, $450 USD for the base console, $500 for the console with Mario Kart World. I guess starting off, I know we talked about it before. We were talking about keeping it at $299, maybe $50 more to kind of get into that point of dropping the OLED down to $300, keeping the SKU at $350, and you paying $50 more to get a better, much better experience. I did not think it was going to be in the ballpark of $450. I didn't think it was going to be close to, I could have been $400, but I thought that was going to be a little ludicrous. So now that we have the price point, now that we know what this console can do, would y'all say it's fair? And why, if you do?
I just chime in. I ain't look too much into it. With inflation, I mean, I was thinking it'd probably be closer to 400 personally, but I mean, I guess with what the console can do, I seen a little bit of the specs. I mean, I'm not super mad about the 450 price tag. I think it's a little up there. And I think it becomes a higher threshold. Well, let me just say personally for me. Personally for me, I'm not too mad at it. I know inflation and things has kind of been like ramping up a little bit. I wouldn't want to, I don't think it's really worth it based on what the console can do. Mm-hmm. What Nintendo's used for, like I could use my Xbox and PlayStation for different things. And I don't feel like, I feel like it offers a lot of capabilities. For Nintendo to be a solely gaming device, I would hope that it could do just a little bit more. I doubt that it's going to have those added features like maybe like DVR stuff. What I was about to say, the DVR stuff with streaming devices, you know what I'm saying? Just stuff like that, like playing music, all that type of stuff. And I don't think it's going to fully embody that. It's solely a gaming console. And for me, I feel like $450, a little pushing it a little bit, especially with the Switch coming out for a retail price of $300. Granted, it was 2017. So, yeah. So that's kind of how I feel, because it doesn't have an OLED screen on it either, right?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Yeah. So I feel like it should be just a tad bit cheaper, honestly. But if they want to do that, I feel like it's quote unquote fair. So.
Okay.
Go ahead. So
that's my personal initially, opinion.
I was gonna say initially when I saw the console, I was okay with the $450. I thought it was on the more expensive end, but also thinking at like the handheld market and other devices that are out, I was thinking that personally I'm okay with it because I thought that if they wanted to be competitive, they could try to get in at a price range under the Steam Deck. but also at the same time, you know, there is not necessarily indirect, quote unquote, competition with the Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. It's just that's been the best handheld device that most people want to pick up. And if people pick up a Nintendo device, it'll be for just strictly Nintendo games. But honestly, after seeing more information about it and seeing the hardware that's inside of it, I know we don't know anything about the CPU or GPU or things like that, but it is another custom NVIDIA built handheld in which there are not, as far as I know, there aren't any other devices out right now, custom built by NVIDIA. So I think it is cutting edge on that sense, but it is from Nintendo. So I think there's a limit of what, you know, features we will be in control of, but I think the hardware, it seems interesting. So I'm okay with the price tag personally. It is on the more expensive end, I think, to be more attractive. A cheaper price would always be better, but at the same time, I'm okay with the 450, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, I guess the more I thought about it, the more I looked into it, having a 1080p screen, to be able to move around and play with in a handheld wise, and then kind of getting up to capabilities of 4K 120 on VRR refresh rates with with VRR support and stuff like that. It does come to my thoughts that yeah, it's a valuable little device. Taking advantage of that device isn't going to really do me any justice. So it's justified in the sense of it's Nintendo and that I can play Nintendo games at a higher resolution and enjoy those games and the capabilities of those games. Because if it has only Xbox One X or PS4 quality graphics fidelity, that's still 10 times more than what the Switch could do. So the games that I'm going to buy, I am not looking for them to push the graphical limits of that console anyway. So for me to be like 450 is a terrible entry, I can't really say that because I can run other games like Cyberpunk. We can run Outlaws. You can run other games that truly will push the limits of the console. Would I ever do that? No, it's just no point ever of me ever buying the games, those types of games on that console. But it is good to know that there is a level or a space and a place where it will be functioning to the degree I would want it to be. I don't have to be looking at sub 900p all the time when I'm playing these games. So I can say that while I don't agree with the price, I still don't. I can say that with inflation and time coming, passing of time and the amount of capable games that came out of the Switch era that I thought were magnificent, I feel like they're going to do that same thing with the Switch 2. So I'm comfortable paying that price to play the four or six games I'm going to actually want to enjoy on there anyway. That is not the thought process for most, because they can just continue to play their Switch. And I think a lot of people will continue to just play their Switch until there is like that next gen game that really is going to make them want to upgrade. I'm not saying Mario Kart isn't going to be that game, but we're going to talk about why Mario Kart may be a deterrent more than a value add at the moment. So as we all know, and what we just discussed, we feel like it's there. We feel like it's something there that's causing this price to be this, and we're comfortable with that. We sit on that, we look at it, we're like, yeah, I'm comfortable with that at this point in time. When you start to take into account what the gimmick is for this console, like what the new thing is, right? The new thing for this console is game chat, something we thought was going to happen previously. It's mouse controls and game chat. Game Chat is this fully functioning thing that you need Nintendo Switch Online for, but to also take advantage of all of this, the features of Nintendo Switch 2, Game Chat, you need a camera that's $50 extra. Which has some really dope ideas to it. I actually think it's cool, but I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, that's a game changer for me, because it's not. So when Nintendo doesn't have a true gimmick behind their console and something that really makes me want to attach to it, like 3DS will never work. Obviously the DS is fine. I'm fully comfortable with that. There was nothing there that the 3DS could do to make me want to buy one. So the same thing with the Switch 2 is that if I can play my old games that were very good, and by the way, really still are great games, will I be comfortable with waiting? Not only waiting for the price drop, but also waiting for that inevitable OLED version, especially when now that I move to your newer console, I now have to pay more for games. And that's where, like, I don't know, was the 3DS, did it have a tax on that for buying games that were the 3DS version versus the normal version? Like, did they have an additional cost?
The 3DS didn't have different versions of the game. It was all separate console.
So I thought that was a function of the DS, but it was just more so they added on the 3D version, right? Am I thinking of that wrong?
No, the 3DS is its own separate console. The DS came out in 2004, 3DS came out in like 2011, I think. And 3DS games played differently than DS games. Like, there was their own separate.
It was
like
the predecessor. Really? I mean, it was backwards. Yeah. It was backwards compatible, but not cross-gen.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. I thought that the 3DS games could play on the back. Okay, so that makes sense then. Were they more expensive or were they the same price though? The same price, right? Like gaming wise.
3DS games was a little bit more. I think DS games usually was like either $30 or $35, and then 3DS games, some came out for $35, some came out for $40.
Okay.
Like the more flagship games are like $40.
What I want to say is basically, the 3DS was another situation where people decided to just play with their old game, old console, and they did not upgrade, and then they end up doing a big price drop early on in that console's life cycle or that handheld's life cycle. How do we feel about the $80-$90 price tags as of now for their games, like the premium games that they put out, the actual games that we would probably end up buying from them, being $80 to $90? Do we see justification in it today? And I want you to put your developer hat on as well, Josh. Do you feel like it's justification?
My bad. So yeah, from my personal perspective, I think that the $90, $80, even $70 is a lot for games. I think we've been used to 60 for a while, but also we've been used to different types of subscriptions and DLC and stuff like that. So I feel like for me personally, I feel like there could be a more consumer friendly way of passing off the price in different ways, because I already know as a consumer, companies are not going to say we're going to sell the game for $90, but that means that all DLC is included or not like that. No, it's just the overall price of the game and everything else is just going to rise. That being said, I know that there's been a lot of talks in the industry for like probably since the last generation that game prices for companies are not high enough to where they're not seeing profits like they would like, and they want to raise the base price of the system, I mean of the games. So first we started hearing about it for like GTA 6, because I mean it's a rumor or whatever, but it seems more confirmed that that game is going to raise the price, and a lot of publishers are waiting for that to come out so that they can follow suit. surprisingly, Nintendo was the first one out to do that, and I don't know why Nintendo decided to do it. Because, I mean, I like Nintendo games, and I'm not going to be the person to say that their games are not worth the price or they should be worth less than anybody else. But, yeah, Nintendo, they've always been doing their own thing, and so, like, a 20, 30% price hike out of nowhere, it seems surprising. Because, what, 3 years ago, their games were $60, now they're $90. So that's, I mean, that's a big change for Nintendo. So I don't know what's going on over there. So all that to be said, I think there is reason for it in the industry. I just have no idea why Nintendo is the ones to come out the door doing it.
Because most of their games at this point in time are very profitable. They're not.
They've always been cheaper.
Yes, yeah. To develop, and they have always had a great profit margin.
Okay, my bad. I didn't want to say their games are cheaper to develop, because I don't know if Zelda costs more than whatever game that's come out recently. That being said, I think that Nintendo has always offered their games for a cheaper price. Like, as far as I know, last year, other than Zelda, most games were $60 instead of $70. Zelda was Tears of the Kingdom was the first one that was, they said it's going to be 70. That being said, Nintendo's always, their budget was always different as what that was presented. So they're saying, okay, our budgets are actually high like everybody else, so we need that extra money. I don't have any beef with that. I have beef with the overall industry where they can't figure out a way to lower prices or just pass the cost along in a different way instead of $90 up front.
Yeah. What's your take, Jalen?
Our matey is Mr. Krabs here. You know I'm Mr. Krabs, man. Only thing I want to say is, as far as like the Nintendo games, I kind of want to disagree that they were always cheaper. I felt like they kind of always been on par, but I think when they became staggered with their generations and things like that, I think that's when they started, their price seemed to be a little bit cheaper. Because, I mean, if we're thinking about it, the Switch was out between the generation of the PS4 and the PS5. So that's like $60 games versus $70 games. The GameCube, you know, if I don't go way back when, they always had $50 games. The Wii had $50 games, so it didn't increase at that Xbox point in time, or the 360 point in time. But when the Wii U came out, they had $60 games. So, I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I'm just trying to refute that a little bit. But I do know, like, from my standpoint, I know I said the price of the Switch, you know, that's fair, you know, quote unquote, I'm going to say that's fair, but the games itself, I don't think they should be $80, $90 personally. I think that's just become a higher price point. They hiking their prices on just more than a console. It's the software itself, like the games, and then how they want to handle them. I know it was up in the air about what the little game key type, product key type thing. That's the way I interpret it, at least, with how you buy like something on a computer, you get a product key and all that. But I think them charging that much for that doesn't make that much sense. It just creates a higher threshold for people to get into the game. I mean, instead of me wanting to buy, hey, I want this Nintendo game if I want to go down that road. Now I got limitations. I need to really justify the cost of it. On the second part of it is what Deontay like to do. With a PS5 game, or he got Game Pass, a PS5 game come out, what you like to do, you like to wait till the price go down, right? Yep. I'm going to get it cheaper. I'm going to do this. Woo, woo, woo. Now Deontay option is taken away with that, because we know Nintendo don't lower the prices of their games. They just don't do it. So that creates an even higher barrier for people to even get into the game. And I know I'm kind of bleeding into the other topic because I'm kind of talking about the little game key type of thing. But all I'm getting at is, I'm going to just say real quickly, if that game key thing is really there, and I wouldn't put it past Nintendo to make it more stringent for that, it's going to take away the option for people to get a hold of these games at a cheaper price, because it's really like, hey, y'all got to get it from us. If y'all don't get it from us, then y'all just not going to get it. So y'all are forced to pay that. And that's me speaking on an assumption. But again, all I'm saying is those games cost too much for the way Nintendo like to handle their practices. And I don't think they should be the first people to do it, because I always looked at them to be the more family friendly thing and try to get people into doing things. But I mean, it's not, in my opinion, it's not family friendly, because I mean, you see everything that's going on with the economy and the costs and stuff. And they just like, hey, it's really, to me, it felt like it's a big F you. I understand they need to make cost and they got to make budgets or quotas or whatever. But I mean, let's be honest, man. I feel like Nintendo got more than enough cheese, man. They conservative and they always, and I think they just trying to really buy, hey, we need some more cheese off y'all. And if PlayStation can do it and we feel like we make premium product and stuff like that, then I mean, I feel like we could be able to do it too, because they probably truly believe that their games are made to the same caliber. And I'm not saying that they aren't, but I just would agree with Deontay and feel like their games are probably a little bit cheaper to make because of the, you know, like the graphical component and things like that. And I'm not the one making the games or anything, but I just feel like their production value for these games, they get the biggest bang for their buck on based on how they want to do their marketing. And then they got the cult following people. And, you know, you playing Zelda at 720p, like it ain't, I don't think it take that much to do all that. So, and then even a game size itself, that could be a compression thingy when you look at their files and stuff. But again, I don't think it's that much data put into these games, how much work they put into these games on a technical standpoint in order. I don't want to say technical, but y'all get what I'm saying, though. But I'm just end it right there because we're talking about cost. So.
Yeah.
I was just going to say with the game key thing. So that's not one. It's not every game. Most of the games they said are going to be normal, just like the Switch. You put it in, the game is on the cart, you take it out. The second thing is with some games that can't fit on the cart, like Cyberpunk, I don't know, maybe Cyberpunk can't fit on the cart or something like that.
That one will be. They had that one. Yeah, that one will be.
Put it in, it will connect to the store, it will download the game, and then that's like the key to activate it because you're playing the downloaded version from the cart. Yeah. But it's not tied to your account, so you can still take that Cyberpunk and resell it back to GameStop, because the key is still good. You just downloaded it from the store. So for like on the Switch, when I bought Final Fantasy X, I could play Final Fantasy X on the cart, but X-2, I had to download it. But when I sold it, or whoever buys the used version, they don't have access to X-2 anymore because I already redeemed that. So now in the future, you won't have that situation where you got a digital content, but you can still resell it. So that's the GameKeep thing.
It was more of a preservation hit than a actual you don't own the game hit. Like this is, it's more of a preservation thing. Cyberpunk 2077 paid for the biggest, largest card from Nintendo, but it cuts into their profit margins. So, but you will have the full game on that card. You don't have to download anything for Cyberpunk. It's a 64 gig. I think that their biggest card is that. And that's the one they have. But because those things are so expensive to get directly from Nintendo, Nintendo had to come up with something that allow people to still have a physical way to be in storefronts, but also be cheaper, because those cards like have like 100 megabytes versus, you know, the 64 gigabyte one that Cyberpunk opted for, because they are into game preservation. So it was an option for that. People blew it out of proportion. I blew it out of proportion, but I corrected myself after that. But it is one of those things where if you don't have a context, you would think it's a big deal, but it really isn't. It's for those smaller developers that can't afford to buy the big cards from Nintendo because they just upcharge everything anyway. So yeah, it's just another way for them to kind of conserve their profit margin. But that... moving past that to back to, because there's plenty of other stuff to talk about around this, but the because we haven't finished to talk about the council itself, because you know stuff, but let's continue on to as you were kind of mentioning their games and what they value their games to be. Like if you weren't aware, Nintendo has a Welcome Tour game for Nintendo Switch. They're charging $10 for the Welcome Tour. Like this is a game that All you do is explore the Switch and learn more about the specs and learn, play some little, maybe some little activities in there. But they want $10 for an activity that is going to introduce you and let you learn more about the product you just bought. So if that don't, that puts into perspective where they come from when they want to do things. And I read something really interesting about how old dude that used to be the Nintendo president for had to force them, or like Reggie had to kind of like have a whole conversation with them about including Wii Sports into on the Wii, because they didn't want to do that. They want to make people pay for it. So I don't think that Nintendo makes the best decisions when it comes to what is pricing and where it should be in their games. And they have the privilege to have underpowered hardware. They're not on the cutting edge, and they have the privilege to see what is done best and what was not done best, and learn from that, because they have never been on the cutting edge of technology. So they already have a built-in buffer for when it comes to paying for new equipment, paying for new things, because they don't need to, because they never were on a cutting edge. That's like talking about AI right now. You'll never see it right now. That's not there, something they're paying for. They will never have those upfront costs that maybe Xbox or PlayStation is currently doing and trying to use integrate AI into their systems. They don't have to think about that. They never were on a cutting edge. They inherently get a benefit from just being behind. So they definitely make more money than, in my opinion, on like hardware and software than the other two companies, just based off around that. Now, Japan, they have different how much stuff costs, these developers, how much they get paid. I'm not saying that there is not some other things that balances it out, because they're obviously not the most lucrative when it comes to the stock market, because they have their returns. You can see that, it's public. But it is one of those things where ambition and there is an advantage to not being as ambitious. That's all I'm trying to get at. So when you think about pricing on their end, what do they have to continue to make up for the lack of, because I think all three of us fit in the same category right now, where we will buy a Nintendo for Nintendo games, but we will not play anything else on it. Like anything. I don't know about you, Josh. Maybe you'll play something else on it. Maybe small indie games. That ain't making them no money. If they have a storefront with the ability to have 100, 150 million people playing on it, and nobody, anybody ever do is buy the games that we make. How do we make money? How do we start to get some of that side hustle in here? Like, people can put their games on our storefront, but if nobody's actually buying them, because nobody wants to play them on these consoles, they're not meant for that, then it becomes a different experience. And I think, obviously, the Switch being underpowered hurt them. So this new effort for them to kind of start to try to get to a new area where third-party support is there, and you can see all these games coming, this is a new era for them. This is like the biggest step forward I have ever seen from Nintendo when it comes to third-party. But in the meantime, in order for us to really make some money, maybe we should start to put a premium on the games that we sell well on. Maybe we should start to put a premium. And the same thing that's going on for them is the same thing happening over at Xbox and PlayStation. But there's a problem here to solve, basically. What I'm trying to get at. The problem here to solve for them is that they do not have the ability to get people, I guess, to make their storefront and their console seem more lucrative, or like more I guess more advantageous to put stuff on, because I feel like a lot of people put a lot of effort into those Switch ports, and I don't think they sell well, to be honest. I could put some numbers behind that, but I just don't think that they do so well on the Switch, because it's not meant for those games to be there. So the really the most lucrative thing about those games is their software that Nintendo makes themselves and the hardware that they make. That's why they can't give up that hardware money, because if they do, it's cutting a lot into their profits. I think poor management got them here. But not only poor management, but the decision making that I'm seeing today really is outlining same pa the past and previous problems that we saw before with the Wii U, and with their previous hardware before that. It's like this constant Nintendo, GameCube, Wii to the Wii U. It's like this ever non. It's always an imbalance. It's never just a good. And I think this is just gonna. Ha this is happening again. I'm not ready to write them all off because I think they're doing a lot of good, well things with here right now. But I'm not ready to write them off. All I'm saying is that what I'm seeing today worries me for their future, because if they aren't capable of one getting in markets and penetrating markets with their new shiny dev thing and their new Mario Kart world, it does rely on them to kind of continue to put games on that old console that has that market already. So I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of it's just a lot of chaos around Nintendo right now, and I think it's all self-inflicted. If they really would have more of a direct approach to a lot of these things, as in convenience, functionality, even with the backwards compatibility, people are saying that they're emulating Switch games and not running them natively, which is kind of weird to hear, as if they didn't have that planned in their hardware already. There's plenty of games right now that are not compatible with the console, and they haven't tested all the games yet. So if you go on their official site, it's also saying things like that. They didn't price in anything about tariffs when they first did the pricing. So this $450 price is actually not pricing in the full tariff impacts that's gonna occur. So it might go up even further in the US, which is not their fault. That's our fault. I mean, I can't blame them for that, but the $450 wasn't enough of a price increase, so they have to even think about that even more. So it is just like it's like a perfect storm of problems that I feel like they are not accounting for that's going to cause issues. So yeah, that's where I'm at with it. I guess my thoughts is very, very straightforward. I do think this is going to end bad for them. I just hope that the recovery is simple and easy, because I do see the recovery being pretty simple for them, but they just have to kind of put that in motion sooner than later. Recovery being price point on the Switch is fine. Keep it at that price point. Lower those prices of those games, and then probably provide Welcome Tour for free. I think that that would kind of solve a lot of their issues. But I think that the taste, this taste for them at this point in time, and what they're actually trying to do with their new console, is not going to be good. I'm not, and not maybe it sells well. It still sells well, but we're going into a recession here, and we don't even know the price of this thing yet. So I just feel like the biggest market is probably going to be impacted the heaviest, to the point where this new console launch isn't going to be great for them. They might have a lot of more, they have a lot more problems than they anticipated of us being just mad about a price of a game. They have a lot to more to battle at this point. So, how do y'all see this? How do you see it playing out? What do you see the price being for the US? Do we do it? Will they increase it the full? I think it's what, 34% in Vietnam now? I forget the tariff price, but the expectation is for most businesses is to eat the tariff and not pass it on to consumers. How much do y'all think the U.S. sees of that tariff percentage?
So, honestly, I'm not going to talk too much about the tariff situation because it's not really clear, because it's kind of just, how to put it?
Propaganda.
It's just popping up randomly without any thought or reason to it. So it's not even worth doing like real predictions, because it's just like tomorrow somebody can decide, well, never mind, you know. So that's why I don't want to put too much thought into it. But let's say there is some sort of, you know, deep tariffs that are going in for sure, and it's going to affect the Nintendo Switch. Maybe Nintendo does raise the base price of the console. I think that they don't want to do that. But either way, if the tariffs go into effect, somebody has to pay for it. Either Nintendo pays for it, either, which if they pay for it, then the price doesn't move. Or they don't change the MSRP, but the MSRP is a suggested price. So when it goes to Best Buy or GameStop or Best Buy, when they import it, they could raise the price based on the tariff. So it's not Nintendo's fault in that case. They didn't raise the price, but Best Buy is like, we're not going to eat this 30%. So we expect the consumer to pay it. Either way, it is going to affect the U.S. side consumer of the tariff. That's why I think that they probably shouldn't exist in the first place or whatever. But that's not in anybody's control right now for the next 4 years. So, that's why I'm not going to put too much thought into it. That being said, the other pricing situation on my side is the international language version of the Switch, or the Japanese only one. Mm-hmm. Those won't be affected by the tariffs, but we do have two different price points where I can pay the normal price or a cheaper price. That's personally what I will be looking at. But that being said, yeah, like the tariffs is just a silly situation that shouldn't be happening, but whatever.
Right. All they keep talking about is, so from what I know, like tariffs been around just real quick, but like they just keep talking about tariffs, raise tariffs, 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 tariffs. Like they got to the buzzword, and there's no context behind what they're saying. They just raise tariffs, and they don't give you no information about what stuff was, how they was previously, or just like the in-depth stuff when it comes to like the numbers and the percentages and who's affected. But they just like raise tariffs, tariffs, tariffs. And I'm just like, bro, stop saying that word, right? So yeah. I don't know.
No, I guess you're right. I would say that too. I wouldn't think they would pull it back. I wouldn't think they would stop pre-orders, because I thought they would have a functioning, like, this percentage is going to be set aside, or this is the amount that we're going to charge at this point because we could be a potential hit with potential tariffs. I did not expect them to be the price without any other assumptions in there, which, you know, I mean, it makes sense, but to me, I think there's probably a pretty heavy upcharge for, put to, I don't know, maybe it's custom. NVIDIA charges a lot. I don't know. I'm not the business guy here. I'm not the business guy in this sense where I can kind of judge based off of this. It just feels as if there is a different price for the Japan version for a reason, and maybe because the yen is weaker, maybe because they're components of this.
Yeah. My bad. I guess I can talk about that on that front. Yeah, I think, the NVIDIA hardware is expensive. So whatever world economy situation, the Switch 2 was always going to be more expensive. That being said, the Japanese version of the Switch 2 is launching around the exact same price as the Switch 1 did. And part of that is Nintendo doing something to, I don't know, protect their Japanese fan base or consumer base, because the Japanese yen has been low, and it's been low consistently over the last few years. So even as an economist, it makes more sense for them to think, okay, well, the yen is probably not gonna bounce back or be equal to the dollar anytime soon. So we're gonna price it different locally than we will outside. And the reason why they're doing the region lock thing is so that when Jalen comes to Japan, he's not going to buy 10 switches for a cheaper price and take them back to the U.S. So, I mean, that is the truth about it, and that's why there's only the Japanese version of the Switch. They're not doing this for any other country. It's only for Japan because the Japanese economy is not doing well. And the tariffs came after that. Personally, I thought the 450 was because of what the U.S. was doing, but it seems like it's just, yeah, Japanese economy is not that good, so we need to protect our interests here, and everybody else, since they got more money, they can pay more.
Yeah. Which is, I guess, fair, to be honest. It is fair, but it does sting a little bit when you kind of see that, especially when you got to pay more. But now that we got to even pay even more, it just feels like, yeah, I don't know if they weren't properly prepared for that, but nobody can prepare for chaos. Nobody can prepare for that. So I don't blame them on the additional cost. At this point, no, I don't. So yeah, there's a lot to mull over here. There's a lot to kind of think about. There's a lot to be said about just the overall opinion of Nintendo as of today. There's like even growing more implications that there could be it could be impacting everything else as well, like gaming wise. I mean, but I think the biggest problem is that as everything is going up, your video game medium, regardless if it's digital or physical, has also went up. And spearheading that is the family console. So it's tough pill to swallow. It is a tough pill to swallow. But I mean, I guess we're here now. Do we think that everybody else will follow suit and start to, or is it too early to call at this point?
Prices?
Game prices, yeah.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, 90 seems like a lot, but they are, because I feel maybe it was Your Gamer, but they've been talking about it a lot. Also, Tom Warren, but GTA 6, I guess, they're planning for $100 base. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but that if GTA 6 comes out at $100, 100% Ubisoft and EA and Activision will do the exact same thing for Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed, and FIFA.
The big games, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's where I was kind of talking about when I said Xbox is probably the best to prepare to weather the storm, because they have a subscription base and they have tier modeling already because of their subscription. Like games like South of Midnight, $50. Games like Obscure 33, or sorry, Expedition 33, but that's not a published game by Xbox, but they have variation within their games and how they price them right now. But then they also have this $15, $20 subscription that you can buy into to be able to have access to those games as well. Ubisoft is the same way. So even if they are to increase their prices, there is a feeling of, being able to have a price point that people can be comfortable jumping in at. And obviously, Xbox's whole thing is that to play anywhere, so you don't really even have to buy their console to get started. So, I don't think Xbox is going to follow suit because they don't need to yet. I don't know how long that's going to last, honestly, because if everybody else is charging that amount for their games, why not do it for the same for us? I can honestly see them making the price, and this will get even crazier if they make the prices on the PlayStation more expensive than the prices on the Xbox. That, I don't even know. I think that's illegal. Maybe it is illegal. I don't know. But, I can see stuff like that starting to happen where it gets really wonky as into what it truly means to own the game, because I feel like there's going to be so much variation across the board that it's just going to get really, really, really insane quick. And yeah, it's going to come into account where everybody's going to be at the store making those decisions. Is this game really worth the money? And the only person that's going to have a solution to test games to whether or not you like them or not, and maybe if you want to play multiple games in a year and not spend the cost of your console, it's probably going to be Xbox. Which is kind of insane, but like I could never see myself paying $80 for Spider-Man, even if it was premium. I just wouldn't do it. I could probably see myself paying for the next God of War, but it would be so selective that it'd be bad. You know what I mean? Like, to the point where everybody is making that call, and they're buying their favorite franchises and not just everything. I think that's how we got to this point now, where everybody online just hates on stuff. They can't afford to buy it. They haven't played it. I think that's really what it comes down to. Like, if you can't play it, you can't afford to buy it. Most of the time, you spew like that you don't like it because you can't even afford to get it. So I just feel like it's going to get even worse. Like, only the bigger games are going to get like the recognition and the accolades, because the other games are just going to fall to the wayside. They're not going to sell well. They're not going to do well because everybody has created this wall of money that they feel like they have to do to survive. It's just like there's plenty of other options, and I think Game Pass is going to be a shining light for Xbox soon, to the point where it's just like it's not even funny. Because if I'm buying a PlayStation, I'm buying a Nintendo just for like three games, do I really need that console? And are they really going to make money off of me as a consumer? I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think so. Like, that's not how you want your consumer to be. Like, never to interact with your online platform. Never interacts with the shop to buy anything else. Never interacts. All they interact with is the three main things that you pay for and pay over for to get them, attract them to the console. But they never do anything else. Like, is that really a world where you want to sit in? Like, I don't think so. And I don't think they understand the ramifications of putting that precedent that the only thing that you're going to be able to buy on your console is maybe Mario Kart World. And
so that's what I wanted to touch on real quick. I don't know about third-party games like Doom, Eternal, and stuff like that. But most indie games say that their sales on the Switch are a lot more than the other consoles and Steam. So at least, I guess, that's where Nintendo thinks their big revenue streams are coming from, indies. And then that's why Hades 2 is console exclusive, console exclusive on the Switch 2.
Yeah, I've seen that, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think any of us are planning to play Elden Ring on the Switch, but at the same time, I am planning to play Dust Bloods.
Yeah, Dust Blood.
When that comes out. So I mean, there's stuff there, and I think the issue for me, as someone who's been playing like Nintendo consoles for a long time, and they always lack certain features, even though they're trying to market that we got the same games. Like, oh, we got Call of Duty Ghosts just like the PS4 and the Xbox One, but our version is the last gen version, and there's no party chat, and then there's no cross game invites or things like that. So it's like you pay a similar price, maybe it is slightly cheaper, but you're getting a much worse experience. And even for the cheaper price, nobody wants to pay a premium for a worse experience. Mm-hmm. So over time, with the Switch at least, we were getting. We start seeing the same games like Doom and Doom Eternal and other stuff, but they're again paired back graphically, feature wise are probably similar. But again, if they never did, but if they put Call of Duty on the Switch 1, it's like, okay, we still got the same issues where it's like partying up is probably going to be an issue. Chatting with your friends is going to be an issue. And so now, again, here we are with the Switch 2. We're back with the online thing. They're doing an online focus. All right, now we got cross game chat. Okay, cool. Now we got cross, I don't even know if there's a party chat system. Slowly, they're fixing that stuff. I'm not saying that it will happen. If they're able to offer the same online experience for both versions of the game, like I'll just use Call of Duty again as an example. Let's say Call of Duty on PS5 and Call of Duty on Switch 2 had all the same features, no clear graphical like downgrades other than what's reasonable. I think that people on the Switch will buy it. It's just when you're getting a worse version of the game for almost the same price, nobody in their right mind is going to pay for it.
Right. Yeah, it's tough, man. I really feel like that they have done. It's just tough. You guys already know. They already know where I'm coming from with this. It is a tough place to be, as in the leader in the new school of their console generation, and having to come around so much scrutiny when you're trying to just show off Mario Kart maps and everybody's just in the chat screaming lower the price. So it's just one of those things where I feel like Nintendo might actually have to, and definitely not bring that president out again. All he said was, well, if you can't afford a Switch 2, buy a Switch 1. And I was like, come on, my guy. He sounded like the...
Yeah, I don't know why they said that. Yeah. And if you're going to say it in a better way, like PlayStation did, which was we got cross-gen games for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it definitely... Definitely some more stuff they got to do to kind of clean this up, but I still am. Go ahead.
So
nah, just laughing. I was about to say he sent everybody off. He said you ain't getting it. I mean, are we okay?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, man. He a funny one. For
he
sure.
Sent y'all off.
He a funny one for sure.
So we talked about the console, the price, and stuff for a while. So we don't run out of time. Are there any games you know, want to discuss on the Switch 2 or the backwards compatibility situation?
What was the wheelchair basketball game? I was like, man, what is this? The wheelchair basketball it's not game,
but yeah,
that one seemed pretty funny.
Same thing. I don't actually care about the tutorial game. It doesn't look fun. Part of the reason people like Wii Sports because it was fun.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter to me if it's free or not because I want to go play it.
No, I agree there. I think that it's just a stark point that as to what they will do to kind of like, this is the tutorial of the Switch 2, but you got to pay for it to do that tutorial. So that is one of those things where it's like, that's a funny, but I would never pay for it anyway. So yeah. But yeah, the games, I mean, obviously Dust Bloods, the new Bloodborne. But they don't want to call it Bloodborne. I don't know if they don't own the IP or what, but when I saw it, I was like, this Bloodborne. And then they said something about, I was like,
I'm pretty sure Sony owns the name.
Yeah, and they gave that mud to Switch as an exclusive. That's crazy. Gotta get them coins up. So it just felt like one of those things where, I was like, yeah, they just try not to get copyrighted, whatever, but that is definitely Bloodborne 2. Are y'all playing it? I know you said you was, Jalen, you gonna get Bloodborne 2? No, Dust Blood, sorry.
Okay, my bad. Myself was tweaking. I don't know. I ain't really that interested in playing. I don't know. We'll see.
You ain't interested?
Nah, I mean, it's. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I'm so boring games. I ain't been the most fond of them lately, bro. I'm going to lie to you. Beodory. I don't know, bro.
Really?
Sorry. Yeah, okay. I mean, I got to buy a Switch to play it. I'm not going to buy a console for one game. That's good.
Well, it's going to be on the list because it don't come out to next year. So you're going to play it when we get it because it's a multiplayer game.
Is it actually like Bloodborne? So I read somewhere online they said it's a multiplayer game. They kind of made it sound like it's supposed to be like the Elden or...
They haven't gone into details about what the story is like, what the progression is like, but it's more like Nightreign, where it's designed around multiplayer, mm-hmm. where Nightreign is like about a three-player. You go out, you loot some stuff, and you fight a boss. I think Duskbloods is a similar thing, where you're in a Bloodborne map, and you're going to go around, you're going to collect items. But there are other players there who you can fight. But the goal is to kill the boss first or something like that. But I don't know if it's a multiplayer game, like it's Call of Duty, you're doing quick match and you play for 10 minutes, or if it's the similar thing where the Souls games are where they're always multiplayer. It's just you just can't disconnect from Phantoms, where everybody's just always connected, but you're playing like normal. They haven't really gone into exact detail about that, but it is multiplayer focused. There will be other people there in the world.
Yeah, and it seemed like you're competing with them, almost like a PvE situation. Mm-hmm. So I thought it looked cool. I thought it looked well made more than Elden Ring, actually, in regards to like design and like how it, artistic design and how it ran and looked on there. So it was definitely going to be one of the things that I thought about picking up for sure. Just depends. Like Donkey Kong was for sure one I was going to buy. And I was going to probably just have Mario Kart World because I was going to buy the bundle with the cart Mario Kart in it. So, but those were the only two. And then obviously Duskbloods, but that was going to be it until for a while. Because they are charging.
Yeah.
They are charging for the Switch 2 versions of some games. Which is another thing, man, where you got to pay for your higher resolutions and higher frame rates, which is, you know, whatever. But I guess everybody does it now. I just didn't think that it would be so little that you had to pay for it. But yeah, no, you're good. Another one of those things, man. Another one of those things. But that game. Did y'all like the physicality of Donkey Kong? Were you a Donkey Kong fan? I don't remember if you had. I think you had Tropical Freeze. I think that's where I played it.
No, I've never really liked any of the Donkey Kong games. I enjoy playing them because they're like fun. They feel good. The music's good. Mm-hmm. But just like I'm not gonna play all 12 levels of this because they're more collect-a-thon games, which I'm not that into. Mario is exception. But yeah, I also don't like Crash Bandicoot. I don't like any of those type of games. Mm. But that being said, this just looks like a Mario Odyssey type game, or you know, a big open space. You can do things. There's a lot of verticality. You can destroy the whole world. Well, not the whole world, but you can just destroy a bunch of stuff. So that looks very fun, and I might check it out. It comes out later this year. So I guess it just depends on what else is out at that time. But it looks very good, and I'm happy that a Donkey Kong game looks exciting because it's, like I said, a series that I don't like, but it looks exciting, so I'm ready to try it.
Right.
Of course, I'm going to pick up Metroid Day 1. I didn't play the Kirby game, so that could be one I can pick up later, and it comes with extra DLC. Mario Party is trash, so why would I spend my money on that? I didn't really play Tears of the Kingdom. I'm not going to say what I'm going to do about this situation, but I'm going to wait and see what happens with this game. But, I mean, I don't want to pay whatever price they're saying, $80-$90 for it. So that's the one thing. But I wouldn't be against to play it on the Switch 2 at a cheaper price. You know, I'll say that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it like I said, it's tough. I guess if you don't, it's like almost having to justify reasons because of the price points. And I it didn't need to be like that, to be honest. I was already sold on it when I first watched that. It was like, it's been chipping away at unselling me ever since the first the final curtains of the first direct. I was like, man, this is actually cool. I thought better upgrades, better resolutions for my old games. But then the more, like I said, I learned, the more it became clear that Nintendo had their fingers all over this thing.
And then all what I am waiting for is the full list of Switch 1 games that are going to be upgraded.
Yeah,
I've seen a few. They said that developers will mostly have to do the patch it. And that's good. I just want to see which ones are there. I know Nintendo would do it, but like, yeah, if you unlock the frame rate in like Xenoblade games and up the resolution, I would be pretty happy with that because I have a lot of Switch 1 games already. Mm-hmm. Plus, I think, maybe 3 brand new Switch 2 games this year. I feel like I'll be happy with like the first 6 months if the backwards compatibility is solid as far as upgrades.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, I really didn't have much else. I know I wanted to kind of cover off on everything there. Final point is that I'm buying it, but reluctantly. I am going to get the one with Mario Kart World. How do we feel about Mario Kart World? Do y'all like Mario Kart World? Do y'all think it's different enough?
It looks fun. I don't have any issue with it, but it's Mario Kart, so I don't know. I guess I haven't put it in my headspace that maybe this is a single player portion that I'm going to be spending my time as. I just think of it as Mario Kart that I'm going to play with 8 people in the room, you know.
Yeah.
But if they are able to offer a solid like Forza Horizon single player experience, that might be cool. But I mean, yeah, I'm going to buy the Mario Kart bundle, so I'm not even really thinking that deeply into it.
Okay, well, that's all I really had, unless y'all had anything else y'all wanted to discuss. I'm all set. I know that this is going to be a short one because I wanted to just cover off on this whole Nintendo thing and kind of talk through all of my points. There's not much else you can say. Nintendo is setting up they're setting the stage for a higher pricing on games, period. Regardless of if they continue it or not, it's already out there. It's in the wild. 100% GTA is not going to be $70. It might be more. So get ready for price hikes. But we'll see who comes out on top on this. I really am interested in seeing that at the end of the day. But all right, then. I want to thank you guys for sticking around. As always, I really appreciate you tuning in. If you got to this part, you're the real OG. I want to thank you as always. You can check us out on wherever you get your podcast, on YouTube. Check me out across my social medias, and everything that I kind of talk about when it comes to this game and news. So you're going to find it there. But thank you again. And we will talk to you all in the next one. Hopefully, I don't know when it's going to. We could try to stick to the schedule, but we don't. I really don't know. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I really don't know, but we're gonna try to stick to that schedule. Well, thank you guys.
We got to work overtime though for this new Switch.
Got to put in those extra times. But yeah, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you all in the next one. Peace.